This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
It is SB Nation Radio. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio on a Monday. We are currently chasing Steve Lapis, CBS Sports Network college basketball analyst, former head coach, D1 head coach. We hope to run him down here in just 1 second to get his thoughts on the Final Four. But what's interesting, we're talking about this during the last segment, but I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Sister Jean, who has become an international superstar, she is the face of this tournament. The Loyola Chicago Ramblers are the team of this tournament, and they've got a game against Michigan that they can win. They can win that game, and they can make the finals. Same when Butler made the finals, and everybody went, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Yes, here we go again out of the Valley. That was a Horizon League team. Here is a Valley team out of the Missouri Valley Conference, potentially playing for it all in San Antonio. But Sister Jean now has given her university the ability to make money off her likeness. So get ready for Sister Jean everything, t-shirts and posters and all sorts of other things, that they mugs and whatnot, that you'll be able to buy with a Loyola of Chicago logo on it. Why I bring that up is because that is essentially, in my mind, what has to happen for college athletes. When there's a chance to market, and when there is a market for money to be made, in America, we don't stop that. We don't want to stop that. We want to encourage that unless you are a college basketball or college football player. Then we stop it. Then we say, sorry, you can't do that because of some ridiculous, unreal rule about college athletes in amateurism. So if Sister Jean can market herself, you know, why can't anyone else who plays in this tournament? Like, why not? What's the harm? I'll never understand that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. All right, let's go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. We find Steve Lapis, CBS Sports college basketball analyst. Coach, how are you? Matt Perrault.
I'm doing great. How's it going?
I appreciate the time. Going great. All right, so Loyola Chicago, we were just talking about them. They're clearly the shocker here of the four teams left, but can they? Are they realistically a team that could win it all in your mind?
I don't know if they can win it all. I do believe they can win their next game. I think it's a good matchup for them because they won't get physically dominated on the glass or anything, because Michigan is a very similar team to them in terms of size. So I think that this next game is one that they can hang in. I think it would be tough for them to beat either Kansas or Villanova. I mean, at this point, you can't discount anything. You got to win two games, and that's it. A lot different than when you first start this tournament.
Totally agree. And look, I'm calling the Nova-Kansas game a de facto national championship game, because I think you're right. We do have two blue bloods and two power programs going on the other side. Looking at that game just quickly on paper, who do you give the advantage to?
Well, you know, I give the advantage to Villanova. I think right now Villanova is the best team in the country because I think they're the team that plays the best on both ends of the floor. They have a top 10 ranked. They're the most efficient offense in the country, and their defense is top 10. And they're the only team left in the tournament that is top 10 in both categories. So, you know, you have to give Villanova a tremendous edge, I think. And let's understand this. Everybody talks about their ability to make threes, which is unbelievable. There's no doubt. But to me, the biggest difference in them in this tournament is the way they defended. The way they defended Alabama, the way they defended West Virginia, and the way they defended just this other day against Texas Tech. I think their defense is at an extremely high level. And when you score like they do, it's hard to beat.
And the rebounding, right, Coach? I mean, my gosh, they have just been complete, you know, attacking the glass on both ends of the floor. And that, along with their defense, is what makes them so tough to stop when the offense is going, right?
Oh, and that hasn't been one of their strengths all year. I mean, they obviously destroyed Texas Tech on the glass. They got 20 offensive rebounds, but that's not really who they are. But I think what we're starting to see is they're the kind of team that seems to do whatever they need to do and whatever is available to be done in a game in order to win. So I think when a team has that trait, that's a really good trait to have.
Steve Lapis is our guest, CBS Sports, joining us on Pushing the Odds. You know, it was interesting at the end of the Florida State-Michigan game, and I thought Dana Jacobson did a phenomenal job for you guys with her questions of Leonard Hamilton. He had to issue an apology on Sunday after the interview. But what did you make of what FSU did at the end of that game, down 4, 11 seconds to go, and then not fouling?
I don't think there's any debate on that. You have to foul. There's no question. The game is not over. Chances are you're going to lose, no question. The chances of you winning are probably 1%, but 1% is not 0%, and people have definitely won games down 4 with 11 seconds to go. That's what it would have been if you fouled. I mean, you could easily put them at the line. They missed 2. You're down 4. You get a quick deuce. You got 6 seconds to go. They get it in. You foul. There's 5 seconds left. They missed 2. You've got 5 seconds to go the length of the court to get it, to get 2 points. Or if they make 1 out of 2, you can make a 3. So there were a lot of scenarios left in that game where absolutely 100% Florida State should have fouled. Matter of fact, I think anything more, anything less, 6 or less, you needed to foul in that situation. If you're down 7, maybe not because it's 3 possessions. But if you're down 6 in that game 10 seconds ago and your season's on the line, you got to foul.
I agree wholeheartedly, and the answers, and I know it was the heat of the moment, and he came back and kind of walked it back a little bit after he cooled down, but he said that there were too good of free throw shooters on the court for Michigan. There were a couple guys with 80% free throw shooters, and that's why they didn't foul. I've never heard of that before from a coach.
No, because obviously, you know, they would try to not let the better. When you foul in that situation, let's face it, you can't be picky. There's 11 seconds to go. You're going to foul whoever got the ball at that point. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Obviously, if you keep the ball at the really good free throw shooter's hands, even better. But the bottom line is, you got to give it a shot. It's 80%. They're not shooting 100% from the free throw line. There's a 20% chance they've missed. So, you know, yes, like I said, the odds are you're going to lose the game, but you still had a chance to win. And it's the last game of the year. It's the biggest game you've got. You got to exhaust every possible opportunity there is before you shake hands and say we lost.
Yeah, I totally agree. I kind of compared it to FSU committing suicide before Michigan could actually kill them from the tournament because they took themselves out of the chance. And it was a small chance, but you still have a chance. So do you think Seminole fans have a right to be upset with the way the game ended?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, let's face it, it was not a good move by Leonard. And I think Leonard's a very good coach, and I don't know why it was that he made that decision. I saw the tape, and it looked to me like the assistants wanted them to foul. But Leonard did not choose to foul. So I don't know what happened. I don't know, you know, what was going through his mind. I can't read his mind, but he definitely should have fouled.
Absolutely. Kansas's win over Duke, and I made this analogy or in this conversation earlier, but, you know, when you're Kansas and you play at Wichita and at Omaha, I mean, you played 4 home games, and when 95% of the crowd in a regional final is cheering against you, look, I know Duke's a really good team, but that was a really tough environment, don't you think?
You know, it's a tough environment, and how many years has Duke played in Greensboro when they were the 1 seed? So, I mean, we can count that that's happened plenty of times. More often than not, that's happened. And the fact is, they were not a 1 seed this time around, so Kansas deserves to have that opportunity. So, I mean, that's just the way it felt.
Overtime for KU, how much confidence do you think the Jayhawks take from that win over Duke, getting an overtime victory?
Well, I mean, a lot of confidence. I mean, but, you know, they're going to play against a completely different team this time around. That team that they played against was big and played zone the whole game. Now they're going to play a team that is smaller, quicker, and more athletic in terms of being able to guard on the perimeter, and is not going to play zone. So, you know, they're going to have to play against a completely different situation. I think if you're Kansas with the perimeter players they have, Malik Newman, the way he's playing, Devontae Graham, Z. Mikhailuk, these guys are all really good three-point shooters. Mm. And it's nice when you play a zone, especially a zone with a bunch of big guys that aren't going to be able to get out on the perimeter on you. This game's going to be a little different. Villanova guards three-point shooters in practice every single day. This is a little different.
Mm. Steve Lapis is our guest. Coach, you coached at Villanova. You coached in the old-school Big East. What do you make of Jalen Brunson? And I know that the new Big East is different than the old Big East, but in terms of great players who have come out of the conference, is Jalen Brunson in the conversation for top 10, in your mind, best players coming out of the conference ever?
Wow, that's hard to say. I mean, you know, we're putting guys in there that, you know, were 10-year NBA all-stars. You know what I mean? We're talking mm-hmm. about Allen Iverson. We're talking about Ray Allen. We're talking about Patrick Ewing. We're talking about Chris Mullin. We're talking about a guy like Terry Kittles, who wasn't an all-star, but he started for 10 years in the NBA, started a team playing in the finals. Like, he's a great, great player, no doubt. But I think great players nowadays are different than great players were then. Great players then were guys that were going to be NBA all-stars, NBA starters. If you were a first-team All-American, a second-team All-American, it was a lock that you were a top 10, top 20 draft pick, no question. Now, you know, Jalen Brunson, as good as he is, and he's the best college player. He's my player of the year. He's a tremendous point guard. How high he gets drafted tells you something about the kind of overall player that he is. So, though he's great in today's college basketball. That college basketball is a bit different those days.
What if he wins two championships in 3 years, however, though? Most guys we're talking about in the Big East didn't do that.
No, but you're winning championships in a different era also. I mean, understand this. Back in those days, I'll give you an example. When Terry Kittles was on the John Wooden All-America team, the five guys on the team were Terry Kittles, Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, Tim Duncan, and Marcus Kansas. Now, is that what we have today?
No.
No. And it's nobody's fault. It's just that the best players leave after their freshman year. If Marvin Bagley were to stick around until he was a senior, we would have the same college basketball today as we had then. That's the difference.
It's a really interesting point. All right, so you like Villanova to cut down the nets, Coach?
I do. I like Villanova to cut down the nets. I think they've been the best team in the country all year, and I don't see them changing the next week.
Coach, we'll all be watching. Thank you so much for the time today. Really appreciate it. It should be a phenomenal Final Four in San Antonio.
Looking forward to it. Take care.
That is Coach Steve Lapis from CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports, joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Good to get Coach on.